I am Brother Cornell West.
This is Chris Hedges.
I'm Rosa Clemente.
Hey, what's up? This is Chuck D, Public Enemy, Prophets of Rage.
And this is Newsbeat.
To the all TikTok, you don't stop. It's your man, Manny Faces. Newsbeat presents This Week in Social Justice, Wednesdays, live and direct. It's your man, Manny Faces, the producer, editor, all things with Newsbeat podcast, which mixes social justice journalism, very high level, award winning social justice journalism, with very often music, always with music, and very often with original lyrics by brilliant independent hip hop artists that have collaborated with us over the years. A great, unique mix of news and important information and entertainment, as it were. I'm joined, as always, by Rashed Mian, the managing editor of both Newsbeat and This Week in Social Justice. Hello, sir.
What up, what up?
And our main man, Mr. Chris Tworski. We do know where you are, Ski. You are right here, live and direct with us, the editor-in-chief of both Newsbeat and This Week of Social Justice. What up, bro?
What's up, man? It's the first show from your new Georgia digs, right?
I am in the deep south of these United States of America, in a location outside of the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. As some of y'all may know who have been following either me or the show, family has moved to Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, from my digs in Newark, New Jersey. I do love and just want to send shout outs to Brick City, Newark, New Jersey, doing amazing things, not only in the art scenes that have one of the highest ranked cities in America for the arts, but also with their political movement, with their social justice efforts, with their, you know, boosting the city to make it a world-class city, technologically, socially, and culturally. I love Newark. I was very sad to leave, but I'll be hopefully making, in the words of Mr. Nasir Jones, making moves back and forth, scrambler, making moves back and forth to Atlanta. So I will hopefully be back in the New York tri-state area. In the meantime, in between time, since we are fully remote, we can do these shows from anywhere. This is the video podcast. Shouts to TK. It's not a podcast. It's a video show that we then take the audio and rip it and throw it down on the podcast feed. But Newsbeat as a podcast is much more than this show. So you will see some things and hear some things here, but you'll also want to check out the full podcast feed for all of the in-depth, investigative, and award-winning podcasts that we do at Newsbeat. So here we are every week. We've been kind of off and on a little bit. We knew this move was coming. I was a little bit off the grid for a little bit. We will be pile driving forward for the next few weeks, at least certainly next few months, to continue to bring you some of the stories and news about social justice oriented stuff that you might not see, hear, read, smell, taste on your mainstream media outlets. We've done it for a very long time. We've been ahead of the game on a bunch of topics, and we speak to y'all like, you know, your peoples, your friends, you know, the folks that you can kind of relate to. We welcome your comments in the comments section or the chat area, whatever it is you're watching us. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch under Newsbeat. We're also on Facebook as Me Manny Faces. And so we welcome all of your comments, and we'd like to we'd like to share your thoughts with the audience. Now, that being said, this is This Week of Social Justice. We like to am I missing anything in the intro, guys?
Get right to it. I think you covered it all.
I think you're doing great.
Very cool. I think you mentioned award-winning three or four times, which is
you left out the lawn brawls.
The lawn brawls. I didn't have to fight with neighbors as hotly contested.
We need that in the intro.
Hotly contested spots out here in America. It's hard to get a ticket to the Funk Master Flex show if the Funk Master Flex show is buying a house or finding a place to live. Anyway, crazy markets out here. Anyway, so let's keep it going. What we normally start off this show, those who are listening on the podcast feed and those who are watching, we normally start off the show with something that we like to call our Newsbeat News Bites. And for y'all watching, we got a special little flashy thing that's about to happen right now. Okay, who's kicking it off? Rashed, is this
all right?
What's that first social justice news bite? Something you haven't heard about, probably, unless you're like really knee deep in these things.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if anybody heard about this, but it's pretty consequential. Mm-hmm. So Illinois became the first state in the country this week to basically outlaw deceptive police tactics when they're interviewing young people who are 18 or younger. So, we've heard of infamous stories of the exonerated five now, the five kids that were locked up for what happened in Central Park years ago. And there's so many other cases where police lie, they perform deception on kids when they're interrogating them, practically scare them into giving out false confessions. So Illinois became the first state to do this. And so the Innocence Project was one of the organizations really behind this and heralding it. And so they noted that 30% of all wrongful convictions overturned by DNA had some sort of false confession element to it, which is astounding when you think about it. And they also found studies that show that children under 18 are between 2 and 3 times more likely to falsely confess than adults, which is, I don't think, surprising to anybody. Right. Just imagining being a child, somebody who's young, confronting police potentially for the first time.
I think the idea of a lot of people think that like falsely confessing to something doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and they don't understand why would you falsely confess to something that
it happens. And it unfortunately happens wildly more with young people.
Yeah, and many times the kids think they're going to get away. Like they say whatever the cops want them to say, and they're going to be on their way and go home to their families. And in many cases, that obviously doesn't happen. So this is, I think, huge news. I was actually surprised that Illinois is the first state to do this. For some reason, I assumed that there's been more progress on this issue. But just like we say it all the time, progress in terms of criminal justice reform in this country is very slow and it takes a lot of time. And this is a big win for a lot of criminal justice reform groups and obviously young people who come in contact with law enforcement.
It's amazing it has to be outlawed. It's amazing that it has to be.
Yeah, that too. That too.
Yeah. I'm just reading the headline to tell police they can't lie to minors during interrogations. Wow.
Oh, man. Gosh, we can't lie to the. What are we going to do?
We have to do work.
How are we going to interrogate the children if we can't? Yeah. All right. Anyway, so this happened. A couple of rich white guys went into space and came back to tell the tale. Mr. Richard Branson and Mr. Jeff Bezos decided to ride their company's rocket ships.
I gotta say, Manny, you're coming across like crazy extra smooth tonight. Like smooth. Just like
I got
the words are a little slow.
I got this new audio set up. I'm down south.
Something happened in Georgia.
We laid back down here down south. I don't know about y'all New York folk, man. We laid back down. I just got here like 20 minutes ago. So they took their rocket ships into space, which is great. Longer discussion about whether the future of it. Listen, I think the space program is great. I'm a space guy. I love, NASA and I love space exploration. I think it's important. I think when people mock it, it's a little bit misguided to mock the importance of scientific research and space exploration. And I think that the private companies helping out with that sort of thing is helpful. I generally think so. I think that, what SpaceX did and, helping kind of shoulder the burdens of flying to space, taking it off NASA, government, taxpayers, everything, blah, blah, blah. I think there's a longer discussion to be had there. However, there is something kind of crazy about seeing billionaires jump into a space rocket ship and fly to the edge of space and get that kind of, I forget what it's a sexual term where you just about to reach climax and you pull back. So there's something about space.
And he's back.
That happens there.
Forget what I said about
So that's what I think they did. And that's kind of crazy to think about. It reminds me of the great Gil Scott Heron. And I'm going to play all 2 minutes of this to signify what many are looking and thinking.
Wait, so you're not playing Austin Powers?
I'm not playing Austin Powers. Oh, okay. Although I saw the memes and kudos to that. This is what it makes me think of. Let's reflect.
We have a poem here. It's called Whitey on the Moon. And it was inspired by some whiteys on the moon. So I want to give credit where credit is due. All right. That's it.
A rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the Moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. I can't pay no doctor bills, but Whitey's on the moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the moon. You know, the man just upped my rent last night, cause Whitey's on the moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but Whitey's on the moon. I wonder why he's upping me, cause Whitey's on the moon. Well, I was already giving him 50 a week, and now Whitey's on the moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. The junkies make me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up. And as if all that crap wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. Was all that money I made last year for Whitey on the moon? How come I ain't got no money here? Whitey's on the moon. You know, I just about had my fill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills, air mail special. To Whitey on the Moon.
Thank you. Yeah, 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 the great Gil Scott-Heron, man, letting you know back in like 1970 what it was like seeing all this stuff happen. I thought it was very fun.
That was effing incredible. That was on so many freaking levels.
Anybody who's listening to the podcast needs to go to usnewsbeat.com/TWISJ and check out the video part of that, because that was amazing.
On so many levels, Manny. You killed that. That might have been the top of all your news bites.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The smile on those billionaires' faces too, as you
Isn't it something?
And they listen, put hundreds of thousands of tons of CO2 into that.
Gil Scott-Heron, Whitey on the Moon, I found on YouTube. I'm not sure if it was off of this actual album, The Revolution Begins. Of course, Gil Scott-Heron, the Revolution will not be televised. So many great things, a precursor to hip-hop spoken word artist extraordinaire, one of the greats. So now, I'm gonna segue real quick. I know we got a lot to talk to about tonight. We have a great show. We have really important news to talk about, something that nobody else is really talking about, that Rashed has dug deep into, and then something that some people are talking about that the rest of us need to know about. You need to know what this is. You may not have heard about it. You may have, and it's passing. You got to know. But Jeff Bezos just gave Van Jones, and I forget the other gentleman's name, another activist, $100 million to donate to charity or charities of their choice.
It's a tax write-off.
It's $100 million to Van Jones. We know who Van Jones is. We know what Van Jones does. He's out there doing some of this work. I'm not going to, you know, one way or the other, how you feel about him particularly.
You just lost us some money from Bezos.
I'm just saying. I'm giving Bezos some credit for Whitey going to the moon.
I mean,
going to the edge of space for the anti-climax.
Could have paid his taxes with the $100 million. He could have paid his taxes.
But his corporation could have paid his taxes. I don't know what he paid personally.
Oh, he could have paid his taxes. He got a $4,000 child tax credit.
100%. But he gave $100 million to a relatively well, you know, positioned, well-respected activist for a lot of the issues that we talk about on this show. Does that or does that not compensate in some way for some of the ills of, you know, Amazon not being a, you know, being, you know, putting corporate? I know there's probably billions of dollars there, so it's not exactly the same. And does it help to kind of outweigh the criticism of the Whitey on the Moon argument, which is all this stuff happening, but, you know, a rat still bit my sister. We're not getting taken care of here on Earth. What does that $100 million donation to Van Jones and his charities of choice mean in the grand scheme of things. And I'm asking the audience as well, please chime in on the comments section. And if you're listening to this later on the later gram or, you know, whatever you're listening to on the podcast app, feel free to, let us know via email or whatever the case. But gentlemen, I'm just wanted your thoughts.
I'll probably just say he could do that and more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, what is that to him? That's going down the street buying a cup of coffee for him.
100 million? I mean, not insignificant. No?
Well, I mean, obviously, that's a hell of a lot of money.
I think he makes that in a week. I'm not even joking. Mm-hmm. I think he makes that in like a week. I mean, I get it. It's great. Yeah, it's
great. I haven't donated a week's salary to any charities. So I'm just saying, whatever I make in a week, I haven't donated any of it to a charity. I'm doing some charitable things. I'm doing some stuff and, I'm doing some of that work. But that's pretty significant.
Yeah, no, look, that's great that he did that. And yeah, I mean, definitely continue to do that. Give more to great causes. His ex-wife, I think, is giving away a hell of a lot of money too.
Fair enough.
I think he's trying to compete with her.
If Bezos is listening, listen.
Bezos, we'll take that 100 million.
Give Newsbeat. What we can do?
Hey, listen. You give us some money, Bezos. Let's get on that Amazon. Aren't they Audible? Right, Audible. Of course. Let's get a little situation brewing. All right. Just want to throw it out there. Just wanted to say, listen, there's some, we're joking about it. We're saying that these guys go into space and I don't see Elon Musk doing the same thing. So I'm just.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm not giving them too much credit. I'm just bringing it out there. Yeah.
I hear you, man.
I don't want to hear what people thought. Whitey's still on the moon. So shouts to Gil Scott Heron. Okay. Chris, it is your news bite time. I don't have a link for you, but just kick it. Tell us what we need to know about.
Because there's a link in the document.
Well, it wasn't there before.
But that means that half those links aren't turned. But no,
it wasn't there before.
Okay. Manny, as you alluded, we're going to be trying to get through a lot tonight. Yes. One of the things that is obviously should be at the top of the news, any of our news bites, is this Pegasus project, which has been launched a couple days ago. And we're going to talk a lot more about that later. But in that theme, in that vein, I wanted to bring attention to this small little story in a Phoenix newspaper about a sign going up to commemorate the life of Don Bolles. And, it's in a much larger context. It speaks to the importance of investigative journalism, the blood, sweat, and tears that journalists of all genres toil with every day just to get the truth to the public and the dangers that they face. And Don Bolles was an investigative journalist, a longtime journalist in Arizona for the Arizona Republic. And he did a lot of stuff with organized crime. In 1976, he was going to meet a confidential source about a tip about it was either a land deal scheme or something more to do with the mob. And the source never showed up at the hotel. He went back to his car and there were 7 sticks of dynamite strapped underneath his car and they detonated it. I think he lingered for about, I want to say a couple days. His legs and one of his arms were amputated. He was able to give a little bit of information about some of his killers. And the death of that one journalist rallied journalists around the United States. And in particular, some of us are located in Long Island, New York. There's a daily newspaper called Newsday. And there was a investigative journalist there named Bob Green.
Right.
And he sort of led this crusade, but at one point I believe it encompassed, I think, 26 different papers around the country or something like that. I have some notes here. And it culminated in I think it was a 22-part series where that they printed and published simultaneously across the country at those different outlets. And that helped expose a ton of corruption there, potentially helped lead to his killers I think only one person went away, and it's always been sort of insinuated there are many more. Mm. And that group project, from what I understand, was the very first team investigation nationwide for a fellow journalist who died really in the fields of battle, just trying to expose the truth for the public.
Right.
And they call that the Arizona Project. Mm. And how this all ties together, again, I'll put a tighter knot on it a little bit later, but the Pegasus Project that's going on right now is another team investigation, global.
Yeah.
About an incredibly insidious cyber surveillance firm and technology that's being used against journalists, right, being used against human rights activists, being used to spy on heads of state, family members, you know, and there's some credible evidence. Again, they're going to be releasing little tidbits here and there about the findings, but it all came from a leak, you know, and this speaks to the importance of, you know, journalism not being something that, you know, journalists are the ones being targeted by the governments to keep their mouths shut. And we'll get a little bit more to the Pegasus Project later, but Don Bowles, and now his car, the car that was destroyed in that bombing, the remains of it was put in the museum in D.C. And Michelle and I actually had
right
a chance to check that out.
They closed the museum, damn
when it was there. Yeah, they closed it down.
Man, I never got to go.
But you know, so all of this, the Pegasus Project, Don Bowles, Bob Green, investigative journalism, it's yeah, all tied together, and it needs to be, you know, underscored.
Yeah,
as much as we possibly can, how important it is for free speech and freedom of the press, and press freedoms are constantly under attack in this country.
100%. And we've done some episodes on Newsbeat about obviously the freedom of press, the attacks on journalists and journalism, and of course the fake news, that whole idea of whole, you know, how journalism is, you know, not, the media can't be trusted, and et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, there's some aspects to that that are correct. There are some aspects that are way more nuanced than that. And we like to break it down because we do not want people to not listen to the media that's doing the work. The Pegasus Project is what we're going to talk about later on. And what you're talking about here, those investigative journalism pieces that are actually breaking stories that really do affect all of us that we don't understand how. The Pegasus Project is a big one. You know, we've heard of others.
Arizona Project, the very first one that was spawned
right
because of the murder of Don Bowles. For example, it led to the creation of IRE, Investigative Reporters and Editors. It's a nonprofit. We'll share the link at IRE.org.
Yeah.
You can check that out. It has a lot of resources for journalists who want to get into investigative journalism, and just a ton of resources for journalists in general.
And shouts to Kevin, who threw in a free Assange. So there is some of that in that. So shouts to Kevin. And yeah, we I think we agree. We've talked about it in depth. We have some
100% of that.
So what's a good for the Assange debate, or, you know, what's a good episode to point to for that we went into?
We went into a little bit in the Chelsea Manning episode.
Right.
Because obviously that's the key to all of us.
And Kevin is right on the money there with this conversation that we're having right now about
yep
attacks on the press and governments attacking the press.
100%. Listen, nothing that you could think of we haven't talked about yet. And we've in that Chelsea Manning episode, Collateral Murder Cover Up, one of our early episodes of Newsbeat, we covered this in depth, and we surely would like you to check it out if you have not already. If you are of the Free Assange camp, you'll like it. You'll say yes, they're on point. And if you're not and you don't know what we're talking about, it's so important that you listen and find out what we're talking about, because it affects all of us. And we bring it to you in a way that is digestible and entertainable. No? Entertaining? Because we're Newsbeat, damn it. That's how we do it. Thank you, Chris, for breaking that down. And we will get into the Pegasus Project a little bit later in the show and find out why this thing that you may not have even heard of could be the biggest story right now that deals with privacy and, you know, your civil rights and all that stuff, especially about those who are trying to bring you the news and the stories in the media. When they tell you that the media is the bad guy, there are some in the media that are absolutely the good guy. And you have to wonder why they're telling you that they're the bad guys.
And right. First, we have a very special report.
We have a special report.
Wow. This is fancy. When do I even start talking?
You don't.
All right. So reporting live week in Social Justice Newsroom. What is this, HBO Newsroom? Okay. Kill it. Kill it. That's amazing.
All right.
That was
amazing.
God, that was incredible.
I had to have some fun with it.
I thought I was on the set of Newsroom for a second.
That was right. Incredible.
I mean, a pretty good show, but.
That was incredible.
All right. So everybody,
you have been digging deep into a topic that we hear about fleetingly throughout the news. It's really important. It is literally about something that very many political minded folks are talking about on both sides of the aisle, and regular citizens are talking about a lot. You don't have to be a political insider, an inside baseball. You don't have to be. You're talking about this sort of thing if you're generally a person out there in the country. So please tell us what you've been looking into and what this special report is all about.
It's a funny special report. But obviously, as everybody here knows.
Okay, seriously,
and
go.
And cut, that's it.
and it's a wrap, and we'll see you again next month.
Free Assange. But no, so seriously, obviously, anybody who listens to Newsbeat, watches this show every Wednesday night, knows that we like to cover the criminal justice issues, especially because the way in which they're covered mostly in your local paper or on cable news or on local TV, it's always seems a little exploitative and you never get the context that you need. So obviously over this idea of tough on crime and law and order has always been a thing for decades, especially Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, continuing Bill Clinton, and so many other lawmakers in this country. And we've reached a point now where there's been a spike in crime, they tell us, and there has been in some aspects of crime, but there's always this idea, especially from Republicans and labor union officials, to always blame the Democrats and nowadays progressive prosecutors, because that's their like the number one foil now, to just blame these people for potential spikes in crime throughout the country.
Defund the police, and that's why everyone's killing everybody again.
Exactly. It's right. It's an easy talking point for them. Okay. And this is what we hear all the time. And we're joking to some extent, but this impacts politics. I mean, you could argue that Eric Adams, the presumptive mayor of New York City come November, won because of his sort of basically a tough on crime approach. So I was getting really frustrated, as I do with the coverage. And I came across first of all, if you want to show that link again, Manny, from the Tennessean, and it shows here's the headline if you're listening on the podcast. Nashville, nationwide crime up, GOP blames Democrats. But then they say it's more complicated than that, which I appreciate it. And then I came across this poll, which I saw so many journalists tweeting out across the country. And it was and there's another one from a Republican official saying defund the police, and showing crime spikes in Austin, Texas, in LA, and in New York City. Obviously, what I'm about to get to is that this official omits the fact that crime is spiking to some extent across the country. And because of the constant rhetoric around crime, right, there was a new poll that came out recently that showed the majority of Americans think violent crime is higher today than it ever was, especially in the 1990s, when most experts consider that peak crime in the U.S. And this isn't new. So this, well, there's been previous polls. This is basically year after year showing people think crime is worse now than it ever, than it's ever been, especially in their localities.
They always say that. It's like people say, what's the best music of all time? It's like, it's always going to be the music when you were a young, when you were like,
yeah, recency bias. Yeah. Right. There's gotta be some recency bias, 100%. Right? Now, before I get into why we're breaking this down the way we are, Manny, if you could show this chart that we have from the FBI. So this is data that's compiled by the FBI on a quarterly basis, and they show crime trends. So people think, you know, the majority of Americans think crime is worse now than it was in 1990s. And if you're watching the show and not listening to the podcast, you can see that the crime trend has, the violent crime trend has decreased dramatically in the United States from 1990 to 2019, right before the pandemic and when this sort of spike in crime happened. I mean, it's like a, it's like if you ever, I don't know if you've ever been on a double black diamond ski slope. That's how steep the decline is.
You go over golfing, the last, you go skiing, the last two decades. You drink Godiva coffee. I don't know.
Wow.
This whole,
wow. I mean, people ski. People ski.
Wow. I don't ski, bro. Go ahead.
Come on, man. You got to skate. Anyway, so I it's important to show this because I don't know if you're ever watching your local news or if you're reading your local newspaper and you get the context that you deserve. And I think that's the biggest problem with the media these days. It's just a lack of context because we're just rushing to get news out. And especially when it comes to crime, it's hugely important to cover your bases and let the public know what this means in the historical context. I don't think there's one criminal justice story that we've done and the news organizations that we sort of support that we talk about that doesn't include the historical significance and where we are today compared to the past.
Right.
And there's no doubt now that there's been a sort of spike in some parts of the country in violent crime. And you hear it a lot. You'll hear them talking about New York, LA, Chicago, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and all these sort of Democratic strongholds that you know, that the Republican Party and the right wing like to talk about.
Right.
So what we did is we said, okay, we're talking about the Democratic cities and the spike in crime. Let's take a look at the Republican cities that are controlled by Republicans in this country. So what we did is we looked at the two dozen of the largest populated cities in America that have Republican mayors. And in the far majority of those cases, we cross-checked those cities with crime spikes. And we found in the majority of cases, there were spikes in crime since the pandemic and continuing into 2021. Sure. Across those cities. So it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican lawmaker, it's likely that you're seeing a spike in crime. So, you know, we're seeing that in, I could just name a few cities for everybody as we go through it. You know, we have people in Omaha, Nebraska, seeing spikes in crime. You have Miami, Omaha, Florida.
Jacksonville, number one, and then you go in the list. You have a list.
Well, yeah, I'm just going through it all. Oh, yeah, Jacksonville. Yeah, there you go. You got Jacksonville, of course.
Right.
I mean, you have Tulsa, Oklahoma. You have Aurora, Colorado, for instance, saw murders up 72%. And that's a Republican official. You saw Lexington, Kentucky. Crimes, certain crime is up there. You saw Stockton, California, which is previously a Democratic mayor, but now a Republican. With a spike there. You just use Lubbock, Texas. That's what I'm saying. There's small, doesn't matter if you're a small city or a large city, you're a suburbia potentially, or you're a rural area, there's spikes in violent crime. And the reason I think it's important for us to point this out is because with all the rhetoric and all the hand wringing, what we don't get are conversations about how to solve these issues and potentially what's driving them. We're going to yell and scream about, you know, defund the police, right? We're going to yell and scream about Black Lives Matter. We're going to yell and scream about protest movements and what that means and morale of law enforcement as a result of protests.
Right.
And people like to blame that stuff on the crime spikes, on protesters and all those people. When the reality is that it's much harder to point your finger on what's happening and why crime is spiking. We mentioned on this show before that you could talk to a criminologist And some of them won't even be comfortable saying, oh, look, I have a 10-decade data set, and I'm not going to conclude one way or the other what caused crime to go up or down.
Right.
And that's the most serious, that's where I think is missing in the conversation. And what is also missing, I think, you know, tragically, is that during this spike and during the pandemic, we've seen a record high number of people purchasing guns legally. It's hard to examine how many are being purchased illegally. And the spike in gun crimes, there's a record high number of gun purchases since 2020. And there's also been a record surge in gun violence in cities throughout America. And gun crimes are the number one cause of murders that are happening during the stretch that people are talking about. So yes, overall murders are up in the country, but other types of crimes like robbery and assaults in some places are down. And there's a study that you're showing right there, Manny, that shows firearm purchasing and firearm violence and how they're related. It's right. Just like anything. It's like when people have access to alcohol in certain areas, they're getting you can find there's more alcohol abuse.
Last night,
it's the same thing here, where there's more access to guns and there's more gun violence. There's currently a gun violence epidemic that we're not talking about. We only talk about it when there's a mass shooting. I think the stat recently, there's 54 shootings, slayings a day in the United States that we don't hear about. And because of the rhetoric around crime and blaming Democrats or blaming progressive prosecutors, what we're seeing is that we're not getting to the heart of the problem. And another tragic consequence, and I think this is where I sort of want to leave it as we go through this, a tragic consequence is the trauma that's happening to people, especially young kids. This week, I came across a study that showed that the link between what's happening in your community and whether you become system involved. And one study showed that, I'm going to read from it, almost one half, so 50% of young people who became system involved witnessed someone being shot, and 30% witnessed someone being killed. And they said the symptoms most strongly associated with exposure to violence were hostility and paranoid ideation. And we're seeing such spikes in gun crimes across the nation. And I can't imagine how many kids, how their futures right now are being impacted, because we are not doing what it takes to address the root causes, to tackle gun violence and the access to guns in this country. And I fear for what's going to happen to all these kids and whether they end up being justice involved because of the trauma that's being inflicted on them right now.
Fantastic, fantastic report, Rashad. Can you hear me? I can't tell whose mic's
on. I just wanted to get across. I think the nutshell.
I was muted because I was just tuned in to what you were saying. Thank you. Go ahead.
The nutshell here is that, look, it's not very hard to do what we just did. It's not very hard for us to cross-check large cities, their political affiliation, though it changes, right? We're not doing that to cast aspersions. Like, I'm not here, you guys, we're not here to protect the Democratic Party, right?
Right.
We talked about this too when you were in the middle of doing it. Remember, we said, well, what if the if it comes out the other way? What if the right wing zealots and we're going to report exactly what the answer is.
Right.
Exactly. We're not here to protect any political institution. We're here to tell everybody that we're seeing these cases across the country. So when the media potentially or lawmakers get on their megaphone and tell you that they could explain to you why there's a rise in crime, you need to be suspicious of their motives and what they're telling you, because a lot of times they're doing it to fearmonger, as we know, to get votes.
Absolutely.
And Rashad, who were we talking to recently for an upcoming thing we're working on, where she just basically stated they want to say it's defunded. Nothing's been defunded, and we're seeing these spikes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, too. That's a good point.
Nothing's been defunded. Yeah, the money's, in fact, some of them have gone up and they're still seeing the spikes.
Right. And that's a great point, Chris, because most of these places, there's been no defund. And a lot of times it's just like creative math to move money around. And the other point is there is these spikes before even the protest movements, right? Because of the pandemic, potentially, because people weren't going to school, because social services programs were shut down because people couldn't connect physically. So people didn't get the help that they needed. Record number of job losses, depression, mental health. There's so many issues.
The pandemic itself could have fueled a lot of the rise in a lot of the crime.
Yeah.
I mean, they act like we just haven't been through a generational trauma in a traumatic event that could have actually, I don't know, affected people's behavior, right? I mean, is it, you know?
I mean, they also act like the Capitol wasn't swarmed a couple of months ago.
Incredible. I mean, it's just incredible. The other day, Rashed says, "Hey, I'm gonna dig into this. I'm gonna look into this." He does it. It didn't take that long, right? And then you're talking. We started off the show talking about Bezos giving $100 million. We don't have, we're doing this out of the love of the truth and the craft of journalism and music and getting this out. Rashed did this. It didn't take him too long. This is what established newsrooms should be doing. This is what they should be spending their money on.
Yep.
And why isn't this report on the cover of the New York Times? You know what I mean?
So it will be, because normally we cover something and then 2 months later, either Newsday or the New York Times. So save this tweet. It's not a tweet, but you know what I mean. Save this. Mark my words, sir. They will cover this and they'll point this out. Now, Rashed, there was a very to wrap this with a bow. There was a stat you showed me. You looked at the top 20 cities, right?
Yeah, I went up to almost populations of 200,000.
All right, so Republican controlled, so Republican mayors. Yeah. Top 20. And what was the breakdown of how many cities crime went up, down, and had
of the about two dozen that we found?
Yes.
At least 14 of those cities had crime increase. Several of them, it was hard to get data. Yeah. And in three, my watch is talking to me. And three saw decreases, or it was sort of level. So yeah, we did see some decreases in those communities as well.
So you would say that despite what you hear about Republicans or tough on crime Democrats, a la Eric Adams, saying, hey, you know, there's a spike in crime, pointing to all the boogeymen that the right tend to point to, defunding the police, progressive DAs, Black Lives Matter, cancel culture, all the things that they say, you know, are terrible, you know, immigration, you know, all the things they say that Democratic cities do. They were going to remove funds from Democratic cities for their the immigration. Sanctuary cities.
Sanctuary cities,
They were going to remove funding for cities because the sanctuary cities were going to increase crime dramatically. It's going to go up. It's going to go crazy. We're tough on crime. We don't do that here on the Republican side of things. These are cities that are run by Republicans, and the vast majority, by far, I think.
But if 13 News Now at 5:30 starts with some troubling figures.
I think that's Jacksonville again.
In 2020.
Jacksonville.
Some cities. It's always Jacksonville. I mean, come on.
Basically,
thanks for joining us.
Shout out to Scheibels. Scheibels in Jacksonville. Scheibels helping us out tonight. Shout out to Scheibels.
I gotta say this. Screw you if you are a news organization that autoplays your videos. That includes CNN. I don't know. I built the top New York, Long Island Press Club of Long Island news website some years ago, beat Newsday, the multi-million-dollar juggernaut of the land when I was working with the Long Island Press before it got sold off. And we wouldn't autoplay your news videos. That's ridiculous. I hate that they do it. So just, I don't know, inside baseball.
The main thing I want to get across is there's one last point. In that first poll that I showed, an interesting stat within
that
is that
think right.
Yeah. So that's as a whole, the majority of people think crime is up. But when people, when they ask them the question of whether they think crime is up in their neighborhood, that number goes down by like 20%. So to me, what it shows is the media's amazing influence on people. And when the media does not do its job in the way in which it covers crime, and Chris and I have seen it being on the street and the sort of like this insidious relationship, you know, journalists have with police officials because it becomes kumbaya. We're not getting the whole story. You get invited to the picnic. So that's what I want to get across, is that people need to see through, unfortunately, what's being reported in the news. We don't want to say what you're reading is fake or false, but you just need to have a little more, try to get for yourself, I guess, a little more clarity on what's going on than when you read about crime stats. Don't take it for face value.
And certainly don't take it for face value when they tell you that it's only happening because Democratic mayors, Democratic cities, progressive politics, progressive issues are causing it. I'm not saying that there aren't Democratic cities that have had an increase in crime. Right? We have seen that across the board. But the point is that it is across the board.
Yes, it's across the board. And what are the real issues and how are you going to address it?
Well, I know what the real issues is.
And it was inspired by some whiteys on the moon.
So there you go. We know what the real issues is. Is that there's, you know, a lot of money being spent sending whiteys to the moon. Shouts to Gil Scott Heron.
All right, Chris. Rashad, incredible job.
Thank you, brother. If you didn't tune in earlier, that was a throwback to something earlier in the show. So don't think that I'm just randomly. There's a method to our madness. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Everything's connected.
We will be digging into this more for sure. This is the kind of thing that you will find out if you follow Newsbeat, the podcast. We do go into depth about these issues. We kind of bring you a weekly roundup of social justice oriented news on This Week in Social Justice, but our podcast has documentary style episodes that dig deep into particular episode topics. Look at our episodes, just, you know, scan through them as we talk visually. We've talked about reform, criminal justice reform, prosecutors, progressive prosecutors. We've talked about civil rights in general. We've talked about state violence against Black women and girls throughout history. And more recently, we have said her name several times. We've talked about the COVID crisis and what coronavirus meant to communities of color, marginalized communities, how extraordinarily these disparities have extraordinarily affected those communities. We've touched upon COVID coronavirus in prisons and jails throughout the United States. We've covered these things in depth. This is us just bringing you some news of the week, some things that we're talking about, current events. But if you want to go back, each of our episodes are documentaries in a way, audio documentaries, less than half an hour in most cases, award-winning, but also super compelling and break down some of the issues. We have spoken about defunding the police. That has been an episode of ours, what it means, how it would really work. You hear about these things, you get twisted. I don't want to just preach to the choir. I want some independents, some folks that are on the fence that don't understand exactly what that phrasing means. Democrats, hey, y'all suck at messaging. Y'all suck at marketing. Defund the police is the wrong phraseology for what you're trying to do. But the thing that you're trying to do is not such a bad idea. And I think a lot of people would be more open to those ideas if they got past the messaging part. So we cut that out and got into the actual nitty gritty of what that means. These are the type of things that we do on Newsbeat. So I do implore you to check out, if you're watching us, check out the Newsbeat podcast on the feed, wherever you listen to your podcasts, or if you're not into podcasts, if you don't do podcasts, if you're checking us out, you'll like this podcast. It's like this, but way better. Like, this is cool, but that's way better. It really digs deep into some of these issues. So we will follow up with this particular issue, I'm sure, in an upcoming episode. We are working on new full-length audio documentary episodes, but we can't sit by week and not bring some of this information to you and let you know what you need to know in a little bit of a, you know, cool kind of way. Like, we like you don't want to see, first of all, you're not going to see it on cable news. You're not going to see them talking about this in cable news. Secondly, you could listen to like Pod Save America. We're like them, but slightly less white. So listen, we're here for you. Wherever you need, whenever you need some additional, what's the word I'm looking for? Additional context regarding the social
favorite word.
News out there. Context?
Oh, yeah.
Great word.
We all need more context.
Here's another one. It's called enterprise reporting, and it's something that Rashed just showed the world.
There you go.
It's the opposite of regurgitating lies.
Look, when you do the bare, it's a problem that when you do the bare minimum as a journalist, that it looks like it's something more, just because our media and the corporate media,
right,
for some reason, with all the money they got, don't know what the hell they're doing.
Anyway, I cheerleaded for us, and you guys dropped the bomb. That's it. That's what we do. Newsbeat Podcast. Check us out wherever you find podcasts, on Spotify. If you don't listen to podcasts, think of it as a radio show. Listen to what we do. Listen to the full episodes. We'll get into this topic more. Thank you, Rashed, for that eye-opening. Hold on. I got it. Oh, no. Where is it? Oh, no.
Just don't zoom out. Don't zoom in on me again.
Yeah, and don't do that for any of my. That's only the special report people. There he is. Look at him. Shut him down. There it is. We mix comedy with hip hop.
I love
and
it.
And a splash of journalism here.
Shout out to Rashed for that incredible report. Thank you, brother.
How about that?
Dope stuff.
Fantastic. Okay.
Let's move on because otherwise we'll be here all night.
Move on here. So we just want to revisit for those of you just checking us out, something we brought up at the top of the hour here. Yeah. The Pegasus spyware, the Pegasus project. And there you go. And so basically.
Explain this.
Explain
this to me like I'm five.
Yeah. So I mean, in a nutshell, I'm just
going to. Pegasus is, it has wings. It's a horse. But that's not what this is.
Shoots out rainbows.
Could
well, pop, that was an incredible gift.
Shoot out rainbows.
Sharing this today.
Shoot out rainbows.
Not always. Slack, but we should share this.
Of a this, My Little Pony.
John Chim and Jake Stringfeld Slack thread. But right. No.
Tell me
this is so
why I should care.
So if we felt that the NSA revelations by Edward Snowden were huge, this is pretty damn on that level, and that's not over exaggerating here.
It could be huge.
I mean, and again, and so that's part of it, is that this is just sort of breaking now.
So
basically, Pegasus is the name of this insidious hacking spyware by this surveillance company called NSO Group. And it's an Israeli surveillance company. And basically, there was a leak recently, and a group of news outlets banded together, 16 of them. The Guardian is one of them. And they spent time breaking down this data, and they're going to be releasing that data in reports in the coming weeks. And that's also called the Pegasus Project. That's sort of what we talked about earlier about the Arizona Project,
right?
With Don Bowles and Bob Green, and IRE. But I'm just going to read the lead to this story here, because I think it sums up the immediacy and the importance and the significance of what the hell is going on here. Human rights activists, journalists and lawyers across the world have been targeted by authoritarian governments using hacking software sold by the Israeli surveillance company NSO Group, according to an investigation into a massive data leak. Now, this spyware, they'll tell you that they're only selling it to law enforcement agencies, intelligence agencies of vetted governments. And vetted administrations, and this is never used against anyone but criminals and terrorists. But what this leak contains is more than 50,000 phone numbers,
okay,
that have been at the minimum identified as people of interest by clients who have acquired this spyware. And as they go, as the Pegasus Project and these newspapers and these media outlets make their way through this list, what they're finding is that no, it's not criminals. It's not criminals and terrorists on this list. There's religious figures. There's academics. There's union officials. There's heads of state. There's presidents. There's cabinet ministers. There's prime ministers. There's journalists.
There's human rights activists. And their loved ones, too.
Right. And their families.
Families.
And Rashed, because, you know, when Rashed and I find something mind-blowing, we tend to, you know, just shoot stuff to each other. And one of the things he turned me on to was this insane capability of this stuff to, let's just put it this way. Everyone's heard of phishing scams where you get like a link to your cell phone and it's, you know, under any possible way to get you to click it. And you click it and that downloads the spyware.
Right. Mm-hmm. You get these weird, texts all the time from like random things, but some of them are, you know, like phishing bait, like, you know, like some of them are, you know, fake and obviously fake, but some of them could fool some people and, you know, legitimately
This spyware doesn't require the target to click the goddamn link. All they have to do is send it to the phone number. Your phone is immediately infected. It can listen to the mic anytime they want. The phone, anything that's on that phone is there.
The camera, they could turn on the camera, activate the mic.
Turn on the camera.
Read all the data.
You don't want to turn on my mic when I'm not.
It's called no click surveillance.
Bad news.
And, you know, here on that list, reporters, editors, and executives at the Financial Times, CNN, the New York Times, France 24, The Economist. But I wanted to bring special attention to one particular journalist. And again, a lot of times we're doing these reports, we're just learning about.
Was it me?
These folks now. It is not Manny Faces.
Good.
Manny Faces. We don't know. Is Manny Faces on this list? We don't know.
No one knows.
Could be.
But they found the number of a freelance journalist in Mexico on a list. Who his name is Cecilio Pineda Pierto.
Yeah.
The more I read of him, it's just, you know, he started like his own newspaper, like The Voice or something like that, you know, wrote about corruption. Well, he was gunned down. I think he was shot 10 times, you know, while he was lying in a hammock at a car wash, right? So two gunmen went in there. And they knew exactly where he was. Is it a coincidence that his name was on this list of this spyware that had been doing? And by the way, the Mexican government and Mexican agencies, it's in the tens of thousands of phone numbers that they found registered to these groups. So he was murdered for, again, tying it back to the beginning of the hour here, Don Bowles, investigative journalist, again, journalists risking their lives on a daily basis, no matter the genre, to just inform the public. And he's lying in a hammock at a car wash, and somehow they knew exactly where he was, when he'd be there. Apparently, the where he was not visible from the street. So the Pegasus Project can't explicitly state yet that, you know, it was a kill list,
right?
You know, they don't know that his phone was never found, which I thought was interesting. And one of the gunmen was later, a couple days, found executed. But had the phone been found, we could tell, or they could tell, the Pegasus Project could tell, whether or not the program had been on there at the time of his death, how long it's been on there.
An attempt or an intrusion.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I think you mentioned the 50,000. I think the Pegasus News Coalition was able to identify, based on some analysis of the actual phones, of actual intrusions, right? So it wasn't just these numbers on a list. They were able to actually discover that phones had this software, whatever you want to call it, on there, or if there was an intrusion attempt. And I think most of these were iPhones, right?
Yeah, across the board, the newest ones and some old ones as well. So you know, some people think that the old ones protect from this stuff, but apparently they don't.
Exactly. Like, you know, we joke, I say, you know, I'm an Android guy, and then iPhone people are like, well, you know, or like same thing like Apple and Mac. Like, well, you can get hacked. You're going to get hacked. And it was like, okay, no, I mean, we're not the only ones getting hacked. Like, it happens across the board. Let me ask a dumb person's question. This is like international, Mexico, Israel, It doesn't feel like home to me. It doesn't feel like I need to be worried. Can you kind of give it in some context as to me as a private
citizen? Sure. I mean, any intrusion, anything like this, where there's some type of spyware out there that can be bought and sold by governments, and they can target whoever the hell they want, should scare the living shit out of everybody.
Absolutely.
I think they claim that it can't be used in the United States, right? But this is the one company whose software we know about.
That's a great point too.
It's hard for me to believe that this is the only firm that has these capabilities. And as Chris just laid out for you, all they need is your phone number and you are surveilled. So the argument that's been perpetuated since the Snowden leaks, what was that, 2013 or whatever, was that, you know, well, I'm innocent, you know, I got nothing to hide. So, you know, I'm fine. Right. The law enforcement, if they're spying on me, there's nothing that they can see. Well, first of all, would you like cops just like staring through your window all the time?
People to be staring through my window, much less cops.
But this shows that you can be an innocent person, a journalist, the fiance of a journalist,
a friend of a journalist,
Jamal Khashoggi. Fiance's phone was hacked her phone was on this list. Her phone was on this list, right? After the fact that he was brutally murdered. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
You could be innocent. You could be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a phone. His phone could be surveilled.
Right. Absolutely. And probably would have, not to mention the fact that we talk about weird things that happen to activists, activist families. You know, there have been people that throughout the years have been, there were some, was it Ferguson? There were some weird.
Oh, yeah.
There were some
mysterious deaths.
Mysterious deaths of some activist type figures or people connected to activists. I'm not connecting these dots, but like you said, Rashed, this is something, the thing we know about, we don't know about things we don't know about. So that this technology exists and that Israel, you know, is using it and selling it and allowing foreign governments to use it. Who's saying that it can't be used in the U.S.? The same.
The firm claims that the technology can't be used on U.S. people. But I mean, we know from our own government.
Said the same thing once.
We know from our own government
right?
that a lot of times what they're saying and what's in the terms of service agreement doesn't really matter. But yeah, I mean, this is huge. I don't know, like the NSA dumps were huge. I think there was like this like crime thriller element of it that actually helped to get it on the map with Snowden sort of leaving and going to Hong Kong and then the whole thing with him getting stuck in Russia.
Right.
And so that there was all a mystery to it that helped elevate that story. I am not a cable news viewer, so I can't tell you how much they've been covering this story. All I know is that what I'm reading, this stuff is horrifying and I can't imagine what's going to happen in the future.
I watched cable news briefly tonight and I saw no mention of this, obviously. It was all about whatever was happening at the moment with the commission to investigate the January 6th insurrection, which is important, surely. And with the machinations that are happening with who's going to be on that select committee and who's not going to be on that select committee, all of which means that the select committee ain't going to do nothing. It's not going to make any difference anyway. It's just a thing. But none of this important detail. Now, obviously, we showed links from Democracy Now. There are organizations that are covering this. Can we just and of course, the consortium of organizations that are actually doing the work.
Yeah. And now Amnesty International is pivotal to this.
Ask, like, who, if you want to follow up on this, if you want to look into this and see who's really focusing on this and
yeah, I mean, the Guardian is all over it. Amnesty International is all over it.
Okay.
I would go to us also, give a plug.
I think
to
it's also Freedom Stories in France is one of the main.
Yeah. And, CPJ.org, the Committee to Protect Journalists,
right.
Are on top of this stuff. So yeah, you can definitely, you can find more information about it, and you're going to be hearing more about it as this investigation unfolds. And they're going to be naming names. So,
yeah, they're already naming names of presidents. Emmanuel Macron had his number on the list. Kings of certain countries, prime ministers, presidents. I think one of the biggest concerns here is, what if you're an opponent of an oppressive state? And you're campaigning against that person. Yeah. I mean, they might know your playbook, because you could potentially be surveilled, and that's horrific when we're trying to talk about democracy.
Yeah. Right.
And this is what kills democracies. This is what kills journalists. This is what kills human rights activists. It may have already killed many, many, many. In Rashed, to your point too. In India, this is exploding. This is a huge deal in India. You have Modi in India, who's potentially, he was using this for a long time against any type of opponent. This shapes nations. This can take down, whoever's at the end of the, whoever has that cell phone in their hand.
I gotta tell you, one person that wouldn't have taken down? Stupid President Trump. Because he doesn't use emails or cell phones or whatever.
But he tweets. Like, can't anymore. But
I guess he tweets.
But yes,
wasn't his Twitter password like password 123 or something?
They did that.
So nod here. Forbidden Stories.
That was
is the Paris-based nonprofit media organization, who with Amnesty International initially got this leaked list and shared it with the Pegasus Project.
There is more to come from this. It's an amazing story. I got to tell people, there are things that are happening out there that are worth your time to dig into. There are things that you pay attention in passing and, this is what's happening. Watch the first 8 minutes of every top of the hour of your cable news before they get into all the pontificating and all the talking heads and the blah, blah, blah. Go to the first 8 minutes. You find out what's happening. There's something happening today in America, in Congress, in whatever. And cool, at 8 minutes, cut it off. You're done. There's nothing. You're not going to learn anything more in the next 52 minutes of the whole hour. But then go to your alternative news sources. Find out some of the things that are happening. The Guardian is doing the work. Amnesty International is doing the work. Democracy Now! Is doing the work. And This Week in Social Justice is doing the work. Bringing it to you every Wednesday live on the interwebs, on the video tip at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yep. And we covered a lot in this show, and just to wrap it up and to bring it back really to the heart of really what Rashed was doing, enterprise journalism, enterprise reporting.
Yep.
And investigative journalism, what Don Bowles was doing. I just wanted to, we do a little segment called Past and Future. And this one is, I'd like to dedicate to Ida B. Wells, pioneer of investigative journalism, who, the more that you learn about her, the more you just get what I like to call to inspire and incite to action. And here's someone who, at this period in time, lynchings were taking place all across the country. There was never a historical record. There was never a historical account. And here comes Ida B. Wells. And what did she do? She at the age of 21 or something like that, she owned a third of a newspaper, in Memphis. She started reporting on some of this stuff. It got burnt down. She was forced out. She was in Chicago for a while. She was in New York. And what she did was the very first, truly meticulous chronicling of lynchings in America. She started a pamphlet called Southern Horrors at first, and that was expanded into the Red Code. And I found an archive of the Red Code. I've been reading it, and I believe we put a link in the document. I'm sorry, the Red Record. It dispels. She dispelled so much at the time too. No one had really investigated lynchings, and the talking point was that black men rape white women, which she completely debunked by just going through the files and investigating these cases. And what she found was, no, it was just really used to destroy the black man, to keep him subservient to the white, man. And,
tale as old as time,
thousands upon thousands I want to just give a nod, to the Equal Justice Initiative. Brian Stevenson's group, who, they have down in Alabama, they have the museum there, which we have yet to get to, but
I'm closer now.
She,
I can meet you there.
She put names to these numbers. She put stories to these numbers. And a lot of times when you read the Red Record, a lot of times what you'll see is what she did to kneecap any chance of them saying this is untrue or this is just made up. She quoted chapter and verse from published news reports that were heralding these spectacles, And so a lot of what the Red Record you'll see is she's actually just taking huge chunks from published reports and newspapers that were bragging about what was happening. That is, but it's a brutal read. It's a critical read. It should be a necessary read. And Ida B. Wells, just as we started the episode with the Don Bowles, you got a street named after him. It was just a little example of a commemoration.
Yep.
This past week, Ida B. Wells, there were memorials unveiled in Memphis to her, in Chicago to her. Last year in 2020, I think the Pulitzer Prizes gave a special citation to her. All these things, look, people can, when it comes to awards and prizes, we'll talk more about this another whole time. But, at the very minimum, what they do is they bring attention to the people writing these stories and the people within these stories. Yeah. So here's Ida B. Wells about the lynchings. Just, so you may go and you see that monument and you say, oh, who's Ida B. Wells? You look her up and then you find the Red Record. Or you find Southern Horrors, and then you learn about these things. So just a big nod to Ida B. Wells.
And if I could just note one thing, the Innocence Project, also in commemoration of Wells, put out something where they noted how she was responsible for, partly responsible for helping 12 men on death row get acquitted.
The original Innocence Project.
With her reporting, yeah. So that's also an important thing to note.
This episode has shined the spotlight on journalists, of which we are, humble, but part of that group. You guys more than me. I'm more of a facilitator.
In the 1890s, Ida B. Wells exposed the Memphis lynchings of three black men. Nice.
And big autoplay opponent.
Big autoplay component. Opponent. I respect the work you do. I respect the work of journalists. We have talked about journalists who have given their lives to tell these stories. Ida B. Wells is certainly as foundational to this idea that, what is it? The guy said it. I know he's problematic, but something like, I would rather not have a democracy without a free press, right?
I think you're talking about Jefferson, right?
Jefferson, right? It is so fundamental. It is so important that we just don't throw out the journalism baby with the fake news bathwater. Historically, we got to look back and we hear the names of the freedom fighters and the people that are doing the work and those have been heralded. But just like journalists today who often get, overlooked the important work they're doing, Ida B. Wells is not a well-known name. It's not a mainstream civil rights name. But the work that was done was no less important than anybody else. So thank you, Chris, for bringing that to our attention tonight. Certainly vital.
Great. You know, you know, I just want to thank Newsbeat Nation for listening.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And I want to thank you guys.
And the Twizzage fam. So listen, if you are watching us live, great. Thank you. We're here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, literally live. Like, we stop our lives for this. So come through and spend a little time with us. Thank you for a couple of comments tonight. We appreciate the interaction. If you are listening to us on a replay, or if you're watching us rather on the replay on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook, we are live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. We've been a little bit stop and go just because, you know, we're just life gets in the way sometimes. We will be plowing forward on a regular basis. We will be incorporating some YouTube, some Clubhouse, you know, follow us, hang out with us, participate in these conversations, and share this. If you're watching us live or you're watching us on replay, share this, please. If you found any value in this, really, it's up to y'all. Like, we can only do so much with the algorithms. You know how it is. It's up to y'all to spread the word on our behalf. We thank you. And of course, Newsbeat Podcast is the foundation to what we do here. We are working on new episodes, but please peruse our catalog of deep dives, documentary style approaches to some of these important civil rights and social justice topics that we've been diving into for the past 3 years plus. We're an award-winning podcast. We have won awards that have beat out all the big names, all the big outlets you've heard of. We were the 2018 New York Press Club podcast of the year, some rag called the New York Times and Wall Street whatevers. We beat all of them. We're here for a reason. We're here for y'all to understand exactly what's happening, the stuff you won't find out on the TVs on your everyday basis. We're here. My name is Manny Faces. I am the co-producer. I'm the audio editor and engineer of Newsbeat and This Week of Social Justice. My man, Rashed Mian, is the managing editor and co-producer. Chris Towarski, the editor-in-chief, editor-in-chief and co-producer, rather. And of course, Jed Morey, our executive producer, the whole Morey Creative Studios team. We thank you all for listening. We're on the podcast feed. You'll hear this audio. You can come find us on the video tip, usnewsbeat.com/TWISJ, affectionately known as Twizzage, This Week in Social Justice, or usnewsbeat.com/watch. If you can't remember that stupid acronym, we'll be here every Wednesday at 8 p.m. unless life gets in the way. We respect and love you guys. Please follow us on news. Follow us on socials, US Newsbeat on Twitter, on Facebook, on Twitch, I think, and on, what's the one I'm missing? Instagram, US Newsbeat. We're there for you to give your 2 cents. Give us ideas for topics, things you want us to cover, things you want us to look into. Obviously, as Rashed and Chris have showed you tonight, we are journalists beyond compare. And we will look into these things and do them with as much integrity and depth and intelligence and respect as any journalist on the planet. It's an honor and a privilege to work with you guys. Anything else for tonight?
I think I'm going to trademark the Wall Street whatevers, because I think it's an awesome alternative paper.
The Wall Street whatever.
I like need to start.
Well, we'll work on it.
It's a great band name.
Get domain name real quick.
The Wall Street whatevers.
Speaking of band names.
And from Manny's lawn. From Manny's lawn. From my lawn. What I did there?
I have a lawn now. Nice.
Put it back. Nice. That's what we do. I feel you.
Yeah, I'm in Georgia now.
So show them down.
Let's keep turning this state purple/blue and reach out to me anytime. I'm at mannyfaces.com. You can find out more about me. Follow us at usnewsbeat.com. And to take the show out, I just want to say one time, you'll see this on the video. Speaking of band names, one time for the great Diabolical Biz Markie. Nobody beats the biz. As you know us, we got hip hop in our DNA, and a big loss to the, to all of music, to all of humanity. Biz Markie passed away this week, and we love and respect his legacy, and I just wanted to say that one time for your mind. It's your man, Manny Faces, with respect and love from the U.S. Newsbeat and This Week's Social Justice Crew. We out of here. Peace.